So with this this scene, the invisible, I think is really important. And I don't know exactly what that means for everybody. For me, I'm looking at it as a pastor. For you in your life spiritually, what a hurricane might look like, what flooding actually does. Flooding is one of the weirdest feelings ever because you're sitting there and you know the water's coming up and you wait and you wait and you wait. And then, oh, it's not going anymore. It stopped raining. Hallelujah. And then you see a little bit come through the door. So you do what? You put a towel up there. You know, and then all of a sudden, and at one time, it comes around all four of your walls. It just starts coming in. That's how it happened at our house. And I was actually thinking, you know, when I was 4 years old, we lived in Fort Jones, Northern California, our house burnt down. And I just have vague memories of just we have no pictures of us before 1966 unless they were given to us. And then in California, I was evacuated for fires twice and a flood once where we lived. And so there's something that happens. There's something that's meant to happen besides the flooding. That's what I'm saying. Besides the devastation, there's something that's meant to happen. When you lose possessions, there's something meant to happen. It's not meant to traumatize you. Life is there and life happens, but something's meant to happen. If we can ask God, let me hear what you're saying. Let me see what you're doing in me and to me and through me and for me, okay? So I want to really encourage you and challenge you, and then spiritually, what does that look like? And what is the Lord wanting to give to you during this time? Not just if you were flooded, but just this time of what you saw, just this time what you're experiencing, just what you're hearing people say, to not just hear what's going on, but to hear something that's way more valuable. And this invisible realm is accessible by faith and only by faith. You can't work it up. You can't read your Bible a lot. You can't pray a lot. You have to simply stop and say, I believe there's an invisible world. I believe that there's a kingdom that I'm supposed to seek first, and then everything else will be added unto me. And Paul said in Colossians, I'm not going to go to all these scriptures, but in Colossians 3:2, Paul said to set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. That doesn't mean we don't go and give financially to people and help people muck out of their houses. It doesn't mean any of that. But it does mean while you're doing that, you're keeping your eye on what's happening in heaven and how you're bringing heaven on down to earth through that situation. Paul also says in 2 Corinthians 4:17 through 8, for the things which are seen, everything you're experiencing now, everything that's happening now are temporary, but the things which are not seen are the eternal things. So we really, as Christians, we've been saying this a bit, we're a faith community. We're an invisible seen community. We see the things that don't exist and we make them as though they are. So in heaven, everybody has a house, everybody has a dwelling that they love, that they're safe and secure in. So we do want to see that come to earth, right? We want everybody, you guys might not, I want everybody to have a home, because when you get flooded and you're, we only got like 5 inches. And so we actually stayed in our home and cut up the sheetrock and we had, you know, things like that. We didn't have an insurance agent back then. We had no insurance. But you stay there and you realize some things. Everybody is supposed to have a mother that loves them, a father that loves them, and we become those things. But it's not like we're working hard. Like Anita talked about the fruit. We're actually seeing that in heaven. There's awesome parenting in heaven. There's nothing lacking when it comes to a mom and dad figure in heaven. So here on earth, I'll be that to people around us, okay? And then in this idea of seeing the invisible, is the invisible, a lot of times I think in scripture that this invisible thing is a water-related thing. So think about this. It says in John 7:37-39, it talks about rivers of living water flowing out of you. Is that real water or is that an unseen water? It's an unseen water, right? But it's actually much more tangible than the water we just experienced. It's meant to be much more tangible, supernatural. In John 4:14, it says, drink of his water and never thirst again, and that water will become a well of water springing up to eternal life through you. There's this idea that in that invisible realm that we are actually full of the Holy Spirit. We're being well kept, we're being well formed, we're well hydrated, we're full of favor, we're full of blessing, we're full of life, we're full of hope and peace. and that we overflow that onto other people. And we're seeing a lot of that in action right now. We're seeing a lot of overflow. People that are giving their boats, their finances, their clothes, their time. Companies are taking care of people. Not all companies, but a lot of companies are doing things. Churches are opening their doors and things like that. And but there's actually an invisible thing that's meant to happen during this visible time. So the outpouring of stuff is awesome, but there's meant to be an outpouring of us upon people, okay? For you to be outpouring upon people, for you to be compassionate, for you to give hope, for you to speak peace, for you to speak life, for you to give time. Because this is what happens when you get flooded. Life goes on really, really fast. Somebody posted yesterday, I've got 2 extra Astros tickets, who wants them? My nephew had a football game Friday night. There's still 100,000 people flooded, but life goes on all around you really fast. And so we can see that as the visible stuff, it gets taken care of. There's an invisible that people have been traumatized, people that have been maybe attached to things, you lose it. And quickly, everybody's life goes on, and we can leave behind people that have been affected by this. And even people that didn't get flooded, they watched like 8 days of news, which is really bad for them. And they got that in their mind. They got that in their mind, and we can help them with that. We can overflow this unseen water into their life and help them with what's going on. In fact, from what people that connected with me in different states, I mean, we had the guy we support in India Facebook me and asked me if we were okay. We had the guy in Spain, the couple in France, the people in Scotland. They all assumed that every 12 million people in Houston were flooded. And so you have that imagery, but there's trauma that's happened to our city, and we can be rivers of living water that help that. And there isn't just we'll just work in this invisible realm and then we'll ignore the visible realm. It is both. It goes hand in hand. And Marion had mentioned that they're saying it's going to take 12 or 15 years to rebuild the city, and she said, "No, it's not." And I want to just agree with that. It's not going to take that long. And I had written down here that it won't take a decade, that Houston's going to rock it, and we're going to drill down and strike a new kind of oil. And I thought, you know, that's the NASA, and Houston's going to rock it. And I think that should be that can be our language. That can be our river of life. Instead of going, Stevie started out with, there's facts, aren't there? But then there's the truth of the cross that settled it. And Houston's not necessarily a godly city, by the way. I mean, it's not. I mean, we think it is, but you know, so there's some stuff out there that you might not have seen about, Houston being punished, like some people from Houston said about New Orleans, and those are ridiculous statements. So I want to challenge you to keep some of that. Keep it the goodness of God driven. Something happened. We weren't punished. People weren't punished. If you got flooded, you weren't punished. Things like that. But the enemy uses those things. The enemy uses those visible things to tell you those lies that sound like true, but they're just not true. And we have to combat it with what God is speaking. And that's always about His goodness and His life. So, and then it says, you know, with this whole living water, streams of water, river of life, all of that is meant for us. We're meant to live with His presence about us, with our mind connected to His mind, our emotions connected to His emotions, and our mouth connected to His mouth, which means we're clear. We don't ignore devastation. We don't ignore trauma, but we speak to a higher thing. And I don't mean, oh, brother, everything's going to be fine. It'll be a lot better. No, I don't mean that stuff. I don't mean, you know, God's plans came to pass. If you were meant to be flooded, you were flooded. If you were meant not to have it, none of that. We don't have to answer questions or give. We don't have to give answers to things that God's not giving answers to. We don't have to make things up. We can be there and we can overflow on people. And we have a brilliant picture of overflow in Ezekiel 47. It's I don't know if you're familiar. Many of you will be familiar with it. But it's the temple overflowing with water, right? So, and it gets higher and higher and higher. And that image is actually an image of the coming of the Holy Spirit, where it used to be you would come into the temple. In the Old Testament, we have this image of coming into the temple, and you get God's presence. But even in Ezekiel, even in the Old Testament, it has this image of God's presence overflowing into everywhere. And actually, the further away you get from the temple, since all the rivers are connecting, that it's even deeper away from the temple. But then we know now in this new covenant, this new time that we're in, is that we're temples of the Holy Spirit. We are the ones that overflow the Spirit of God, the goodness of God, the good news of the finality of the cross and the goodness of the Holy Spirit, the goodness of our Father. It's us. It is us. And it's not just like until Tuesday when we go back to work and our neighbors are taken care of. And it's our work regardless of a flood or not a flood. And we have that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that we carry with us, that we are to give to people. And that's Ezekiel 47, 1 to 12. It's a great, just a great great image, I think, of that restoration or that revival or what the presence of God is meant to do. It's meant to rise up in us and overflow. It's not meant to come light upon us and empower us for a second. That can happen, but it's normally flowing up from us and we connect with something that's going on and then it comes out. And I want to challenge you, and I'm challenged myself, is God, what do you want me to see that's in the invisible realm that I yet can't see? What do you want me to hear? What do you want me to know? And then what? How do you want me to act upon that in the visible realm? How do you want me to act upon that? So don't, I mean, I want you to serve. I want you to give. You can give to the journey, and we'll give it, right now we'll give it to team. There's another group we support, Shield Bearers, that's doing a lot of the trauma type stuff. So that's a good thing. And Shield Bearer will get a lot of people that have lost loved ones, and they will provide counseling free of charge. So we help them. There's a couple other groups like Tamagua that is doing vaccinations for tetanus shots free on Tuesday, and we support them. So our community is doing a lot of different things. But for us, you know, we can't rally around, you know, 50 teenagers, you know, 50 young men that have hammers that are like, rah! But what we can do, we can see what is in the invisible realm, and we can make it tangible, okay? And want to encourage you to do that. You can be praying for me that I have some spiritual sight for any influence I would have in the city of Tomball to keep a spiritual direction, because quickly as pastors, we go to practical, and we forget there's a very spiritual thing going on. So a lot of times what we do as pastors, we connect, we work together, and then we don't build a spiritual brotherness connection together. Just like men, they go hunting, then they never talk to each other for a year, then they go hunting again, but they're best friends. The guys do that, right? And so we just pray for that, for my part and for our part and then for your part in that invisible realm and how it looks in the physical realm, okay? All right, let's go ahead and stand up. And I do want to offer prayer down here if anybody wants prayer.